Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 35th episode of I'm Batman, the podcast. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I'm your host, Captain Marvelous, and this week we have a very special guest, so please allow himself to introduce himself.
Mr. Mutinary!
Yeah!
I'd like to thank you for allowing me to introduce myself.
Yeah, everybody gets introductions in this show that needs no introductions.
It's just useless, but good.
So this is the show where I chronologically review each and every episode of the 1992 Batman the Animated Series. And this
week,
in order, yes. And this week we have just an amazing episode, so let's get to it. This week's episode is titled Almost Got Him. Original air date November 10, 1992. We get the title card, which is a silhouette of people playing poker on a table with this cool looking gray smoky background, as well as a jazzy score to set the mood. Now, jazz is the biggest con that existed, as we all know.
It really is.
But it actually sets up the episode really nice here. We start off with just a shot of people's hands, but we know right away who these people are. First, we see Joker's white gloves as he deals out cards to start a poker game. We cut to the flipper-like hands of the Penguin, the gray, scaly hands of Killer Croc, and finally the normal hand and green, burned hand of Two-Face. Penguin talks about how Mad Hatter was caught by Batman the week before, and Two-Face thinks that there's multiple Batmen, and Gordon keeps them stashed somewhere, like some sort of SWAT team.
But you know what? I didn't get this, but until I saw it more recently.
Uh-huh.
But do you think the whole Mad Hatter getting caught? I think that's how this whole story, the ending, winds up, because the Mad Hatter was supposed to be there.
Well, yeah, could be. Yeah, it could be. That's how they found out where they were going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense that the Hatter would be a squealer. Well, yeah, come on. He's like, what did we mention? Like Scarecrow. He's just like some nerdy professor doctor guy.
Oh, yeah.
And then Batman just has this habit of beating the crap out of his villains for about 10 minutes at a time. So. But you know what, though? That theory about Batman and the SWAT team, that's not a bad theory, actually.
I like comic books and stuff like this go into what regular people or even the villains would think. Because why would you think, say, Spider-Man, why wouldn't you think that underneath it he probably looks like a human spider?
Yeah.
That's, he wears a mask and everything.
Because
that would be very easy to think that.
And I know that they did that in the movie The Dark Knight, where Harvey Dent, you know, passed himself off as Batman. And they were like, oh, I'm Batman. And of course, it was all of just a trap to get Joker. But I like that in the video games. I think this is a thing they do more now. I'm not really sure if it was done before. But I know in the Arkham video games, you hear, like, the thugs just talking. Like, when you're swinging around the city or whatever, you just hear them having dumb conversations. And then one of them is always, like, a guy going, you know, I used to think Dent was the Bat, you know, before he got all burned up. And, like, you hear, like, really cool conversations like that. Like, one guy saying, like, oh, you know, I should leave this joint and head out to Metropolis. And then the other guy's like, yeah, you're going to have to deal with some flying clown over there. So, yeah, cool stuff like that. But this whole SWAT team theory, I like it.
Yeah, I always thought Marvel Comics should have a crossover-type storyline where a big portion of the U.S. has kind of teabagger conspiracy theories that, oh, they're all working for the government, all these heroes. Because you know that would happen nowadays.
Yeah.
And these people with giant conspiracy theories about lizard people and...
Although, basically, with S.H.I.E.L.D., they kind of are, but... But, yeah, like you mentioned, who is it? Oh, Penguin, or I think somebody says that. Penguin says he figures that Batman must have suffered some sort of trauma when he was younger. That maybe he was shot in the face by a mugger. And Joker says that, yeah, he could be all gross and deformed under the mask, but no offense to Two-Face.
Yeah. And I like how you watch them with their hands, and their hands are different, and their handling card's different. Like, Killer Croc is just, you know, all grabby and stuff with his cards. And, of course, the Penguin has those weird hands.
Yeah, because they haven't cut away from their hands yet. We still haven't seen their faces. And Penguin's making some tea. Two-Face is making coffee using half and half, of course. And Joker, I love that he's just cheating. He's pulling aces out of his sleeve.
Yes, of course he is. as he's talking about people not cheating.
Yeah, he says, like, let's have a fair game, gentlemen. And Penguin's like, that'll be a first. So we finally do see all four villains. As Croc says that he thinks Batman is a robot. Which actually, it's not that far-fetched either. And spoilers, in a few episodes, we are going to find out there will be a robot.
That's true.
So you're going to find, though, that Croc is pretty stupid. Like, extra stupid, yet hilarious in this episode. Which is really different from what we mentioned. That Killer Croc is usually a complete a-hole anytime we've seen him. Like, he's not
a total jerk.
Yeah, he's not really funny or charming. He's just an a-hole. Like, you just hate this guy. But in this episode, he's charmingly stupid. Poison Ivy shows up, but Croc tells her to leave. And Ivy just beats up Croc and takes his chair. Now, I wonder if this was on purpose. I know we make fun of the trench coat and hat thing.
Yeah.
But I like how Poison Ivy looks like Carmen Sandiego when she shows up.
Yeah, she did. Well, her hat is very Carmen-ish.
Yeah, she's wearing the trench coat, and she's wearing, like, this enormous Carmen Sandiego hat that covers one eye. But it's not red, it's brown, but it looks a lot... I'm pretty sure they took cues off that, because, I mean, around this time, Carmen Sandiego is already really well-known. So, Poison Ivy and Two-Face share a few words that I myself use with somebody all the time.
Poison Ivy.
It's been a long time, Harvey. You're still looking halfway decent.
Half of me wants to strangle you.
And what does the other half want?
To hit you with a truck.
We used to date.
Ah.
I love that they bring up the we used to date part.
Oh, and I love that the Joker and the Penguin are right on it. They're like, oh.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. So, I love, though, like, it's just little things, as we mentioned before, because as this whole scene is happening, everybody's just talking, having casual conversation, but in the background, you see the silhouette of Croc beating somebody up and taking their chair.
Yes.
But you don't see it, it's not closed up or anything, it's just happening in the background as everybody talks.
No, and it's all in silhouette, which really sets you up for the silhouettes later in the episode.
Yeah.
The whole club is lit in such a way that everything's kind of silhouette-y.
This episode has a commentary track. If you own the DVD box set, the Volume 2, I believe it's this 3 on the Volume 2, and it has a commentary track to it. And I'm not going to mention much from it, because there's really not much to mention from the commentary. They just talk about, like, storyboarding and technical stuff. But they do mention how they made the conscious decision not to have a background in this episode. How the whole scene at the bar, everything is just like this weird smoky purple thing. And they didn't want to do these like detailed backgrounds because they were trying to give it that Fleischer Brothers Superman feel. According to them, there was a scene in a Superman cartoon from the Fleischer Brothers where Superman walks into this place and the only thing, there's no background and you only see the silhouette of a gangster spotlighted by the light above him. So they were really impressed by that, and they wanted to make this whole bar scene resemble that.
I think the whole look of this episode is great.
Yeah, it's really cool. We're going to get into a lot of it. Ivy says she's running from Batman, and they all say that they're there because of the same thing. Croc mentions that he figures one of them could have gotten Batman by now, and then they all start arguing about who has come the closest. Joker tells everyone to share their stories. He says his is the best, so he's going to go last. I love how he's just all confident about that.
Oh, this is such a great episode for knowing what the villains are like, and then at the end, knowing what Batman is like. This episode is one of my favorite anythings to do with comic book superheroes ever.
Yes, it's really good.
It's right up there.
Good. Ivy starts a story about how she had rigged hundreds of pumpkins to blow up and release poison ivy gas. Is that a thing?
It is now. I like the fact her plan's crazy. Like, you, the different villains' plans, you really see what type of villain they are.
Because I've never heard of poison ivy gas. Is that like Joker gas, or is it literally gas, like poison ivy plants turned into gas and they're going to make everybody itch?
I think it's poison ivy gas.
Like, okay. Yeah, because I've never heard of this. Not in the comics or anywhere.
No, I don't think it's like trademark poison ivy gas.
Yeah, it's literally like from the plant, poison ivy. And the commentary, though, they mention how in this scene, the original plan was actually to have Ivy burning Christmas trees because it was her protest against people cutting down trees for decorations.
Uh-huh.
So she was going to be burning Christmas trees to release the gas, but they thought the pumpkins would just look better.
I agree, they did, but I thought the same thing. I thought she was, because people are killing pumpkins.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
She was getting even with them.
It's the same thing, it's just that they were going to go with Christmas originally, but they went with Halloween. And we're at a Halloween pumpkin patch here. Batman shows up in the Batmobile. My one gripe with this episode, and it's just a really small nitpick, Batman has a really long nose in this whole episode. He has like this huge snoz, like the penguin big. And I know it's supposed to be the mask draping over his nose, but it just looks like a condor beak. It looks really weird. Batman gets out of the car, and Ivy sets a pumpkin on fire and drops it, releasing the poison gas. And you know what? Ivy just looks amazing here. And this is the only time we're ever going to see her like this, but she's wearing just a black one-piece bathing suit and nothing else, no gloves, no tights. No bracelets. She's not even wearing boots. She's just barefoot. And she actually, it just looks really cool.
She looks, you kind of get the idea her outfit is always based on Eve from Adam and Eve. But she looks more Eve-like in this outfit, I think.
In this episode, she reminds me a lot of the, like, 1950s bathing suit models. You know how they've always shown, like, Tinkerbell was based on this popular model. And they show pictures of that. That's kind of what it reminds me of.
Yeah, she's very
voluptuous.
She's a very strong female character in this.
Yeah.
I think.
Batman starts choking from the poison gas, and Ivy tries to unmask him. Batman just straight out punches her in the face.
I know! I don't know.
We're going to see Batman has no qualms about punching women in this episode.
No, he just smacks her down. It's not even a punch. It's just like, bam, you're on the ground.
More pumpkins explode, and Batman gets weaker from all the poison gas. So I guess it really is made out of poison ivy leaves, because it seems like a really weak poison gas. Batman took it straight on the face, and he's just coughing.
And then he gets more of it later.
Yeah, like a lot more. You figure that he would have been just dying already. Ivy says that this time... actually, she says this line. I'll play it instead.
Poison gas.
Ugh. It's just the darndest thing. I have this natural immunity against poisons, toxins, the pain and suffering of others. Go figure. Bye.
Alright, so this is the first time we learned that poison ivy is actually immune to poison. Now, I know this is a well-known fact now, but we weren't aware that she was anything more than a human up to this point. Because now in the comics and in everything, she's basically Swamp Thing, right?
Yeah, I hate that whole thing. If that's what you want, start a new character. That's alright, you know?
Yeah, she's like literally made out of plants now, and it's just really weird, I guess.
Although, I mean, over the history, she's went back and forth kind of with that stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, it's like Killer Croc, where he started out as like this guy who just had like some weird deformity. But now he's like this giant dinosaur man for some reason. Like, he sometimes even has a giant tail, and sometimes he's like this weird... He's like DC's version of the Lizard, and... Yeah, I don't know. They go back and forth, but I prefer when they keep Batman's villain more humanized.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, the only one I kind of really accept as just a super-powered monster is Clayface. And Man-Bat, I guess. But Man-Bat's kind of just a giant animal. He doesn't really think or do anything.
Yeah, he's a werewolf. Yeah. So.
Ivy leaves Batman to die. And Batman uses the remote control on his belt to have the Batmobile chase after Ivy and almost kill her. Like, she has to run up a pole so the Batmobile doesn't kill her, and the Batmobile just straight out knocks the pole down and knocks her to the ground.
And she takes another huge spill, right? Just bam. She's having a terrible day in this one.
She climbed up this. This has got to be what, like a 10-foot pole or bigger?
At least, yeah.
And she just straight out falls from the top. How do you learn to fall off a 20-foot ladder? Batman gets a gas mask from his car and proceeds to beat the crap out of a woman for the next 10 minutes of the show. It's really weird. I can't believe they dedicated so much time to Batman just beating on women. That's the end of Ivy's story. And we cut back to the poker game. And I like how Ivy's still wearing her giant Carmen Sandiego hat throughout the poker game. Like, she just likes it. She takes off her trench coat, but keeps the hat on. Two-Face gets to go next, so we get his story second, so, huh? Mm-hmm. He tells the story of when he robbed the Gotham Mint of $2 million in $2 bills.
See, he's crazy plan, too.
Which sounds like more of a hassle, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, where do you get rid of all that?
Isn't it going to be odd where the guy with a half-burnt face is spending $2 bills everywhere?
No one's going to recognize that.
Two-Face hired
he might have a trench coat and a hat on.
Oh, that's true. He could have that. Well, he did have that in the episode where he was regular Harvey Dent, remember? So,
yeah.
Two-Face hired the Two-Ton Gang, which are four enormous dudes.
Which was really weird because at the end, there's four of them. At the first scene, there's only three, so you're trying to think, that's 2,000 pounds between three guys. It's like 700 pounds each, and they aren't...
Well, maybe one guy is 1,000 pounds.
That's true.
And that's why he... Maybe one guy's 1,000 pounds and we couldn't see him because he couldn't move, and the other three weigh less. So these four guys, so they're apparently weigh 500 pounds each.
Yep.
That's a lot, and they, like you said, they're huge, but I don't know. It seems like they're exaggerating. Maybe they're using the Hardcore Holly scale in that one.
If it was Marvel Comics, they would be made out of, like, the material from the inside of a sun, so they...
Oh, yeah, they have high gravity or something.
Exactly.
They'd be the wrecking crew from Thor. Now, the Two-Ton Gang, though, actually succeeds, and they beat the crap out of Batman and capture him. Two-Face flips his coin, and it lands on the scarred side. Two-Face is smart and takes Batman's utility belt from him. He ties the Batman up to a giant penny, and the penny is laid flat on a giant platform, which is basically like a giant teeter-totter.
Yeah.
And Two-Face is going to use a forklift to drop a pallet of gold bars on the other end, making the penny flip.
Now, we are still in the bank, right?
Yes, we're still in Gotham Mint, apparently.
They really think they have a lot of time to do crimes, right?
And they have a lot of ceiling room in this place.
That's true. I'm just like, I would think you'd want to be getting out of there with the money, but no, you make this huge teeter-totter, you get a forklift, you put...
Look, you already spent the money on a teeter-totter. You're going to use it. maybe it was like one of Riddler's old props or Joker's, and you know he's like, well, I'll buy it from you at half price. So, Two-Face is going to flip the penny. If it lands face down, remember this, if it lands face down, it will kill Batman. If it lands face up, it's going to break all of his bones. Two-Face tries to flip his coin again, but he can't find it. I love this scene, though. He looks for his coin in his pocket. When he realizes he doesn't have it, he doesn't have it, and you just see the look in his face, and he goes, oh, no!
Yeah.
And he realizes...
He remembers when Batman grabbed him, and he's like, oh, God.
Yeah, he realizes Batman has taken it, and Two-Face drops the weight on the platform. Now, I'm not a big city professional forklift driver.
What? Wait, hold on. I'm a big city forklift professional driver.
What?
That's
why I brought you on.
Okay.
Now, I don't think forklifts forks lower down at such high speed that it's going to make a platform flip a giant penny.
No.
And I also don't think that they have quick release mechanisms.
No, that would be quite unsafe. So, kind of be defeating the purpose of a forklift if it did that. That would be called breaking.
The penny flips through the air, but Batman uses Two-Face's coin to cut the ropes.
Oh, and he's so cool when he's doing it. Because yeah. when it starts flipping, he's still tied to it, but he's still sawing away.
Yeah,
he's in there.
He gets loose. He uses his momentum to kick Two-Face into some bags burying Two-Face in pennies. Now, the coin lands on two of Two-Face's henchmen, presumably killing them, right?
Oh, well, crushing every bone in their body.
Because Batman was gonna get killed.
But there's two of them, and they each weigh 500 pounds.
Okay, well, Batman... So
probably just crushed all their bones.
Batman probably weighs, what, like 260? Of pure muscle. So, Batman then drives the forklift to somehow use each fork to capture the remaining two henchmen. Now...
Yes, that's how they work. Independent.
I'm not a big city professional forklift driver.
Oh, you should be. We get all the chicks.
Oh, man. I do drive a forklift at work sometimes, but I wouldn't consider myself a professional. It's more of a hobby. You know, forklift driving and...
So you couldn't pick up two guys running away from you with...
No, I couldn't.
...tended forks.
Now, yeah, he uses the two forks to grab the guys by their shirt collars and lift them up, like, I want to say 30 feet in the air, because this is a huge-ass forklift for some reason.
If you weigh 500 pounds, what shirt are you wearing that your collar can actually dangle by? That's some strong fabric.
And they're, like, moving around. They're not just still. They're, like, you know, struggling to get out, so they're going to fall. And that was the end of Two-Face's story. And Joker, now I love this part. Joker tells Two-Face.
Yeah. I forgot the part where Batman threw his coin back.
Oh, yeah. Two-Face is buried in pennies, and Batman tosses the coin back at him. He says, here, I owe you a dollar.
And the thing is, this whole show is just scenes with Batman that make you go, woo! This is like Batman's greatest hits.
And I love how Two-Face blames his coin for this. He's like, if it wasn't for this blasted coin.
Like, he still has.
Yeah, dude, know. you're still using it. Now, I love this scene, though. Joker leans in to tell Two-Face, like, huh, you're always going to come in second place. But while he's doing that, he's looking at Two-Face's cards.
Joker's cheating from the beginning.
Oh, yes.
And also, back in the beginning, when you notice when he cheated to give himself another ace,
yeah.
Later on he's dealing, and he's putting an ace on the bottom of the deck. So you know he's going to be
pulling
that out for himself later.
Okay, this is probably the best story. So I'm just gonna let you guys hear the whole thing.
Anyone else want to go? Me. There I was, holed up in this quarry. When Batman came nosing around, he was getting closer, closer.
And?
I threw a rock at him.
So, Harvey, what became of the giant penny?
It was a big rock.
They actually let him keep it.
Okay, that is seriously the best one, and I love that they didn't animate it.
It was a big rock.
What was the best part was when he starts telling it, he says, I was in a cave. Batman's, and they zoom into him like they're going to fade into a flashback, but they don't. And it's just...
Now, that is probably the funniest line in this series. I know it's one of the most memorable ones. But he also got to learn how Batman got the giant penny in his Batcave.
It's true.
Now, if they
sometimes, when somebody says something and downplays something, I'll say, it was a big rock. Just from this episode.
Now, yeah, we got to learn the origin of the penny. If they would only let us know how he got a giant mechanical T-Rex and a giant Joker card. Now, the T-Rex, though, I was thinking, there's a later episode where he fights this calendar girl, and she uses a giant T-Rex against him, and I figured Batman probably just kept it, but I think they blow its head off, so I don't think it's the same one.
Yeah, I know in the actual real old comic books, there was a story about the dinosaur.
Oh, okay, because he has the dinosaur, and it's not just a statue, it's like a mechanized dinosaur.
Yeah.
And he has a giant Joker card. Like the Joker's trademark card, but it's enormous. I'm guessing that was just one of Joker's kooky schemes from the 60s.
Yeah.
And then he has the giant penny. What else does he have on the Batcave? Those are the three big things everybody knows.
Yeah, those.
There's a bunch of stuff, but those are the big things, and he keeps Robin's, dead Robin's costume also in the case.
Depending on what universe you're in, he has different outfits and different.
Yeah. So Penguin's story is next. Penguin starts using big, complicated words, but Joker says, "Speak normally. You're losing Croc." And Croc is just like shying away in the corner, like, yeah.
Yeah, and I like how the Penguin has the smartest, most intricate thought out plan, because that's what because he can't fight. That is what the Penguin does. He would have to do this.
Yeah, but we're gonna see exactly.
Okay, in comic book terms.
Okay. Penguin tells the story of how he was going to steal prized condors from the Gotham Zoo. Penguin is cutting the lock on the gate when Batman shows up. Penguin sprays Batman with some pink mist, but he claims that he used the wrong umbrella. Penguin runs inside and Batman follows him. Inside, Penguin shines a spotlight and tells Batman that he fell into his trap, which has an amazing name.
Welcome, my ebon-winged adversary. You have taken the bait as I knew you would. Now prepare to meet your end within my aviary of doom.
Aviary of what?
Yeesh, Pengers. How corny can you get?
Fa! Just because you mundane miscreants have no drama in your souls. Anyway, there he was in my big birdhouse.
My aviary of doom. So yeah, Penguin is a pretty silly villain.
Yeah. But I like how everything's so crazy complicated in this.
Yeah, it gets sillier. Penguin releases 5 hummingbirds to attack Batman. The pink mist that was sprayed on Batman was nectar that the birds drink. Poison birds! Okay. Do these birds have naturally poisoned beaks?
Coated their beaks with poison or something.
That's what I was going to say. Did Penguin break into the zoo the previous night and dip the bird's beak in poison? And also, wouldn't that kill the birds?
This little known fact, but hummingbirds are immune to poisons, toxins, and the suffering of others.
So maybe that's what Poison Ivy was talking about. She read the description of the hummingbirds and that's what she just repeated. They attack Batman. He defeats them by breaking a sprinkler and causing water to fall on the birds and make them flop around on the floor.
I'm pretty sure that doesn't work.
So let me ask you, do these birds die in nature if there's ever a rainfall?
I'm pretty sure that doesn't work. It almost looks like they're robots and they short out or something.
Yeah, because they're on the floor and they're still just flapping their wings and kind of flopping around like that Pokemon fish. So that's what I'm wondering. Like, so when it rains, do you just find like hundreds of dead hummingbirds on the floor every morning?
Can you imagine predator animals when it rains? It'd just be like alders falling from the sky.
Batman tries to use antidote from his belt, which Penguin already knows he's going to try to do. But he gets headbutted by a chicken. A giant chicken! Actually, it's a bird called a cassowary. And it's a silly looking...
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, according to the commentary, the writer looked up like the most ridiculous bird he could find.
Okay, because I do not know this. I thought it was a prehistoric bird, and Penguin like did all that work to bring it back to just for this.
I'm pretty sure I've seen these at the zoo. I think they're actually like anything else that's deadly from Australia.
Oh,
so that makes sense. Let's look up cassowary. Yeah, it's a real bird. And I have seen these at the zoo.
Is it that big?
I don't think it's that big. I think they're probably like the size of a peacock or something.
Okay, that's what was getting me, because it's like an emu-sized bird.
Yeah, this thing's like a giant ostrich mixed with a giant chicken. It's just really weird looking.
A little bit of dinosaur mixed in.
Yeah, like a weird raptor chicken turkey thing. The bird attacks Batman and cuts up his arm pretty badly, actually. That's probably, like, one of the worst injuries I've seen Batman ever get. Batman grabs one of the still-flopping poison hummingbirds And he uses it to stab the giant chicken in the leg, and the chicken runs away.
It's like everything Batman does in this episode, you're like, whoa! Batman just stabbed that bird with a bird!
Now, do you think this is what actually happened? Because all these stories are being told from the villain's point of view.
See, you don't know.
So do you think the villains think Batman is cooler or scarier than he really is?
That's a good point. That even though they hate him, he is. He would be. He would be the guy. You're like, what are you gonna do to kill this guy?
Yeah, they would be terrorized of this guy. So maybe Penguin, maybe Batman did more than just turn the sprinklers on and kill the hummingbirds. But to Penguin, that's like, wait, that's all he did? This was my master plan, and he just turned on the water.
Stabbed a bird with a bird.
So does that mean the hummingbird died, the one he used as a knife?
Well, I guess. Did it just stay stuck in the other bird until it starved? I don't know. Because its mouth is stuck inside another bird.
Penguin runs away. And Batman catches up only to see him escape in his weird helicopter umbrella, which could somehow support this, 350-pound man? Or is he part of the 2-ton gang? And that was the end of Penguin's tale. Joker tells his story now. And he says that there's more than one way to get someone. Joker pulls out a black and white TV, which I like.
Of course.
He's not just going to tell him. He's going to show everybody.
Yeah, he can't afford a color TV.
Joker and Harley have taken hostage a TV show called Late Night Gotham Live, which I thought was supposed to be a parody of SNL, but it looks like it's just like David Letterman. Joker is holding the audience hostage by having his thugs point machine guns at him. And again, in the commentary, they mention how you never see the audience, you only see like cardboard cutout silhouettes. And that was because the censor board, or whatever they call the people that you know, monitor the cartoons, their rule was, don't show the audience suffering too much. So they figured, we're just gonna eliminate them completely.
Well, that was a good idea. That's cool.
Yeah. Joker introduces his guest for the night, and it's Batman. So this scene is just awesome, by the way. The animation just looks... I don't know why. The animation in this scene, it's been great so far. But it's like in this scene, it just looks way better than any of the other ones. So I'm not sure if it's because they tried harder, or if it's because the whole sequence is in black and white, and that just gives it like a different look and style. I'm not sure. It looks really great, though.
It's a black and white cartoon of a black and white TV show.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Just really looks right.
Batman is strapped to an electric chair with a meter on it, a laugh-o-meter. I love how Joker tries to make small talk with Batman. And he's like, so how's Robin? And Batman's just silent, and Joker's like, okay, moving on. Joker explains that the electric chair is powered by laughter. And Joker is pumping the audience with laughing gas and says that these yahoos will laugh at anything, even the phone book. So Harley starts reading phone book numbers, and the audience laughs, causing Batman to be electrocuted. Now the commentary again, the animators or the creators and the writer, they saying that they're really surprised that they got away with electrocuting Batman in an electric chair. That they figured that was the one thing they weren't going to let him get away with.
Do you think when you do something like that, you just try it and see what they let you get away with? And you're like, let's try.
I know that a technique or I guess a life hack that a lot of these studios use is, you know, for example, they'll have this. They'll have Batman being electrocuted. And then they'll write in a scene that they know for a fact will get censored, that's completely horrible. Like, Batman gets electrocuted, but in the next scene, you know, he breaks some guy's neck on camera, so that the censors will focus on that big thing that they know they're gonna reject, and they're gonna just look past all the other little things.
Ah, you make them feel like they did their job.
Yeah, the Animaniacs. If you remember, Animaniacs had a lot of adult humor on it. If you look at it now, and a lot of, they say that's the way they got away with a lot of these things. They would put in these really, like, not even subtle jokes, so that they would catch those, and then the other ones would just slip by.
Do you think that that's that sometimes they put in something they think is just so crazy, but it slips by. Like, do you remember Animaniacs when Prince was on there?
Yeah, actually, that happens a lot. It's, there's a scene, and this is a, I guess it's a big spoiler for an episode that we're not going to get to for a couple of months. So I don't know if you'll even remember when we get to this, but spoiler alert anyways. There's an episode where Barbara Gordon fights Scarecrow.
Okay.
And he knocks her off a building. She falls to her death. And according to the creators, the original scene was to have her fall. The camera was going to follow her all the way down until she landed on top of a car and died. And the censor said, no way. So they had to change it. So now the new scene, we see it from the point of view of Jim Gordon. He's driving the car, and all of a sudden you just, like, see this body drop on the hood of the car. Which makes it, like, 10 times worse.
I know, it's one of my favorite episodes. I love that episode.
Yeah, so according to them, the censorship actually made it worse, but that's what they wanted, so they just, you know, they let it in.
Mm.
Oh, okay, Joker, Batman's being electrocuted. Joker takes out a hot dog and a prong, and he starts roasting the hot dog on Batman, which makes me wonder, shouldn't that also be electrocuting Joker? Or is Joker...
Maybe he's just holding it close to the heat from...
Or is Joker immune to... Is he immune to electricity?
And the suffering of others.
Yes. Like hummingbirds.
They're evil little things.
Well, maybe that's why the hummingbirds got defeated by water, because they're immune to electricity, so they always have a charge on them.
Yeah. Well, remember, they look like robots?
Yeah, so there you go. Catwoman shows up, and she tosses Harley and Joker into the set, causing the set to collapse on them. And then it's really weird, because Joker starts going, Paul, I can't feel my legs. I can't feel my legs, Paul. So she takes out the thugs with the machine guns by killing them, by dropping the stage lights on them, which, you know what, Catwoman, she doesn't care. I'm pretty sure she did kill these guys. And also...
Wasn't the first people to die on this show today.
No, it wasn't. Also, the prong that Joker was holding to roast that hot dog lands on Batman's lap. I love how that became a thing, because when you first see it, you think, oh, that's just Joker being funny.
Yeah, it's a side joke.
But it actually turns out to be, like, really important. Batman uses the prong to escape right before the chair blows up. Joker try... Okay, they cut back to the poker game. And somehow, Joker has video footage of all the stuff that also happened backstage.
Yeah, don't ask.
The Joker's running away. And he gets knocked out from behind by... Or he gets trapped by Catwoman in her whip. But then Catwoman gets a boxing glove to the back of the head that knocks her out. And it's Harley Quinn with her giant boxing glove gun. Now, according to the commentary, they tell the origin story of that gun.
Yeah.
Apparently, the writer or one of the creators went to Japan to do a press thing on this animated series. And he saw this enormous gun with these giant bullets that shot out streamers. So he thought it was really cool, and he bought it as a gift to one of the guys. So the guy liked it so much, he started writing it into the episode as Harley's go-to weapon.
Yeah.
Because he liked it so much, he was hoping the toy manufacturers would make toy guns out of it.
Now, is this the third appearance of Harley?
I think it's the second.
Second? Because she's very what she is here.
Yeah, we first saw her on The Joker's Favor, mm-hmm. And I don't think we've seen her since.
I think you're right.
Yeah, we've had Joker, but he was with Captain Clown, and the episode where he kidnapped the mayor's kid, Harley wasn't in that.
And yeah, because she feels like Harley. She feels fully formed in this episode.
Yeah, this is not weird pre-Harley. It looks like they already know what her role is going to be from here on out. Yeah, she's basically, at this point, Robin to Joker's Batman. So Catwoman gets knocked out by the boxing glove gun. And that's the end of Joker's story.
Yeah, and you know, that was another violent thing right there, because it really whacked her in the head.
Oh, yeah.
It was... This is a very violent episode on my fifth or sixth viewing now. I don't know how many times I've seen it in my life.
That's a concussion 12. Right there.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, remember, concussions equal ratings.
I think that was the name of a book, wasn't it?
Concussions
equal cash.
Yes. I think you're thinking controversy creates cash, but... Joker claims that he won the poker game, and he takes all the money. He has four aces and, like, a king or something. And, of course, it was all because he was cheating. Croc asks...
And he was keeping people distracted, too.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You remember, wasn't he the one that said, oh, we've all got an almost got him story. Why don't you tell me yours?
He was the one that started everything.
As I cheat.
Croc asks, what happened to Catwoman? And Joker says, Catwoman is at the Pussykins pet food factory, where she's going to be ground up into cat food and sent to Batman. So, wow, that's dark, even for Joker.
I'm telling you, this episode is crazy with some of the violence and stuff.
Even the other villains are giving Joker a look like, whoa, dude, that's
too messed far. Up.
Yeah. Now, Croc stands up, and he speaks in a familiar voice. He sounds like Batman, and he says, I don't think so. Then Croc tosses Joker across the room and through a table. Then we get one of the coolest shots in this show's history. Yep. It makes absolutely no logical sense. But
doesn't
it's really cool. The light above starts swinging back and forth. We see Croc lit up by the light. But when it swings away and it's in the shadows, we see Batman's pointy-eared silhouette. It makes no sense. Absolutely no sense. Unless Batman is using like some sort of hologram to project the Croc skin, it makes no sense.
It's just so cool. Like, this whole episode is just built on things being so cool. Everything is cool in this episode.
The rest of the villains pull out their guns and aim them at Croc. And I love how they keep with the characters, because Poison Ivy pulls out her crossbow, and Two-Face pulls out two guns.
Yep.
And I believe Penguin pulls out a machine gun, which we've seen him do quite a couple of times. Croc, who we now know is Batman in disguise, which explains his lovable, stupid behavior.
Yep.
Because we mentioned, in every other episode you see Croc in, he's a despicable a-hole. Like, you really don't like him. But here he's funny and he's likable. So is that what Batman thinks Croc is like?
I think so. It's exactly what I was thinking earlier.
Batman thinks...
that he's just, what an idiot.
Yeah, Croc is just this big idiot. He's like, well, he's probably the stupidest one out of all of them.
And that's what everybody else at the table thinks about him, too. So.
Yes! He acts like a big idiot, and nobody says, like, are you okay, or anything? Like, why are you acting
like
so weird?
Like, he's an idiot.
Croc tells the villains that he's not bad at setting a trap himself. And then every single person in the bar stands up and pulls out guns.
Has this scene ever been done better in any real movie or anything?
Oh, this is
it's
so cool.
It's just so good. There's so many of them.
And
some of them
hear,
are women, and it's just great.
It's about 5 seconds of guns just going like... And we see Gordon and Bullock, though. And I'm surprised no one noticed the police commissioner sitting there at the table.
It was all the silhouette. It's the silhouette bar. Who would have known?
Maybe Gordon was wearing a hat and trench coat. Who knows?
I think they all were. That was...
And I love how all the cops, they're all in like, disguises. They're all in suits. The women's are all dressed, like, in their cocktail dresses. It looks like... It just makes a really cool scene. The villains are surrounded by, like, hundreds of cops. And all you see is their table being lit up. And they get arrested. But yeah, this scene is so cool. Even though there's a mistake in there. Because remember, Joker got thrown like across the room.
Oh, and then he's back.
But for some reason, yeah, he's back at the table getting arrested with the rest of them. But it's just the visual. You know, I would love a poster of all the cops surrounding the villains and them with their hands up. And it's all like silhouettes. It's not really detailed. And I would love a poster of that. We cut to the Pussykins cat factory, and Harley is waiting for Joker to arrive. And I love how she's just like making small talk while she waits with Catwoman. She's like, you know, I used to have a cat. They don't always land on their feet. Batman shows up instead. And again, like you said, she is already what she's going to be. Now, I know that in the recent comics, now that Harley is like super popular, they make her to be this sort of like criminal genius. But
it's they're just doing the thing they did with Venom when Venom became popular and then he became the lethal protector. Hey, remember when he ate people's brains? Oh no, he protects the innocent.
Yeah, he was just like this savage, uncontrollable alien thing. But then he became like this smart thinking. He became like Bane all of a sudden, and he like knew all of Spider-Man's moves and all that. And Harley, now she's like, she knows all this stuff. Oh, she's insane, but she's also really smart. No, Harley was always a ditz. She was always just like
awesome.
She was just like this dumb, clumsy girl that followed Joker around. But now, of course, she's smarter than Joker for some reason. So, Batman shows up. Harley says that she's going to make sure he doesn't follow her. So she turns on these enormous grinding wheels that are going to grind Catwoman into cat food. Is that how they make
cat food? They look horrible, don't they?
Yes.
It's not like a dark box that she's going to go into.
No,
it's like these wheels are going to just... Oh, it's terrible.
Is that how they make cat food? I don't really know. Do they just ground...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Is she supposed to be a horse?
Yeah, do they just grind up horses
on that treadmill, that little conveyor belt?
They just grind up dead animals. Do they just gather up all the hummingbirds from the next day after it rains?
They wait for it to rain. And they go out with shovels and just throw hummingbirds in there.
Batman catches Harley, and she claims that Batman only has time to do one thing.
Either I love this scene.
Beat her up or rescue Catwoman. Batman just looks to his right, reaches to an electric panel, and pulls the lever down, turning the power off.
Yes, she was so sure of herself. And then she's like, oh.
Batman then proceeds to beat up Harley for the next 10 minutes. Which is really weird, because there's like 3 minutes left in the episode. But they decided to go over and add, you know, 7 more minutes of him just beating the crap out of her.
Well, he'll make time.
Okay, so
they have a run over in case this happens.
10-minute part is a joke. But he does punch her. We hear the... It fades to black, and right before we cut to the next scene, you just hear like... So Batman at least socked her one before she... I don't know, for a good measure, I guess? Was she struggling at all?
No, she was caught. She is a 90-pound woman.
Yeah, he just decided to sock her one. Harley's being arrested, and Batman and Catwoman, not the other way around. Batman and Catwoman are on top of the building. As Harley is, she's being arrested, Catwoman leans in to kiss Batman.
Thanks for coming after me.
I owed you.
Well, I'd like to think our relationship isn't just restricted to saving each other from freaks and weirdos, and that maybe we'd have a place for each other without Gotham, without the freaks, maybe without masks.
Maybe.
And she gets distracted by a police siren. Then when she turns back around, Batman is gone. Catwoman,
like that.
Yeah, Catwoman watches Batman swing away, and then she proclaims,
"Almost got him."
The end. Oh, that was such a good episode.
How many just off the wall Batman is the coolest person ever scenes were there in this movie? Or in this movie, this episode.
If you're a fan of beating up women. Oh, you're gonna love this episode.
It's just with every scene, you're like, "Oh, Batman is the best." I just love this.
I joke about that beating up women thing, but it makes sense. They're gonna try to freaking kill him, except for Harley, who I guess just surrendered. But still, it makes sense that Batman would just—he doesn't give a crap, woman or man. He's just gonna punch you out. They're super villains. You know what this reminds me of? It's like when in wrestling, they have like the joke character, like Hornswoggle or Little Midget or something, and they get in the ring, and then they get attacked by like Triple H, and the announcers are like, "Oh my god, this is so brutal! Why, that's poor little Hornswoggle!" I'm like, dude, he got in a wrestling ring; he should know what's gonna happen to him.
Exactly.
So I figure if Harley and Poison Ivy are gonna try to kill Batman, they should know they're probably gonna get a punch through the nose.
Okay, Harley did just try to grind a living woman up into cat food.
A woman that Batman has feelings for.
Well, yeah, but even one you didn't like too much,
grind
him up into cat food.
Yeah, even if it was just a regular woman, he knew nothing about. But this one he has feelings for, so he would probably take that little extra punch just to show her, like, don't mess with her again.
And what a good episode to show you the villains.
Yeah.
Villains, you know everything you need to know about those villains.
We've talked about villain team-ups before. I think the only real villain team-up episode we've had was the Dr. Hugo Strange one. And that episode was so rushed that it didn't do anybody there justice.
No. Joker, Two-Face... It still was the best part of that episode, though.
Yeah, Joker, Two-Face, Penguin show up about halfway through the episode, and then they all act exactly the same. But this one really shows you everybody's personalities. I mean, even if Croc turns out to be Batman in disguise, you get the gist that Croc is just this big, dumb, like, thug. Yeah. He's not a mastermind. And the fact that you say everybody just thinks that Croc is an idiot kind of shows you that. Penguin, of course, is the most eloquent, and you guys have no drama in your souls, and he's the most, the more drama queen of them all. You know,
and Batman's so smart in this episode. Besides the cool Batman-y stuff, the whole plan is just so
cool. If you think about it, in every episode, he outsmarts everybody. He doesn't really just use his fist to get out. In the first one with Poison Ivy, he uses the controls on his belt, which Ivy didn't know about. In the Penguin episode, you know, he does the sprinkler. He stabs a bird with another bird.
bird.
Two-Face episode, he steals his coin away. And the only one he kind of really got lucky in was Joker. Because if Catwoman hadn't shown up, or not even if that, if Joker hadn't decided to bust out a hot dog, who knows how Batman would have gotten away from that.
I think at that point you just assume he would have figured out a way.
Yeah.
Because he's just so cool.
But, yeah, Batman outsmarts everybody in this, which is, you know, that's his character. His character is not, I'm going to build a giant robot suit and fight Bane because he's stronger than me.
Yeah.
So, they really got the character of Batman down, even though the episode is not really about... It's a weird thing. It's about Batman because everybody's telling Batman stories, but it's not really... You know, about him. We don't really learn much about him other, like, how he thinks or anything.
Yeah, there's no Bruce Wayne in this.
Yeah. And, yeah, it is really, really great episode. The only really after show note I have, I mentioned most of them throughout the episode. If you listen to the commentary, there's really not many things to hang on. Like I said, they talk a lot about storyboarding, who did this, who did that. Dong Yang Animation did the work on this episode, and as I mentioned, the animation is just great. The black and white segment with the Joker just really, really stands out. And this episode, I mean, this studio really hasn't done much amazing work. Their previous episodes were The Joker's Favor, which is, you know, it's okay. But the story carries that episode the most. Nothing to Fear, the Scarecrow episode, the first appearance, which is another okay animation-wise. Appointment in Crime Alley with the Dr., actually, that's when they were going to blow up Crime Alley, I believe. Eternal Youth, the one... You know, that's the villain I would have really liked to see. Dr. Not Poison Ivy.
Oh, yeah. I wonder what happened to her.
Yeah, I would have really liked to see her in this episode, but we got Poison Ivy instead, so it's fine.
They can't have them both in the same episode.
Well, you know what? How Ivy wore a trench coat and a hat. I think that was a kind of a nod to Dr. Not Poison Ivy, because she used to wear the lab coat. You remember.
Oh, wouldn't it have been awesome if, like, later in the series it would have turned out they were related?
Or, you know what they could have done? Big reveal. What? The light swings, and when it swings, like, when the light's hitting on her, you see her in her Poison Ivy costume. Mm-hmm. And then when it swings away, she has a lab coat on.
Like, what, she's thinking about the other, they're thinking about each other? Or?
Like, because Batman is seeing, like, a resemblance, but he can't quite put his finger on it.
Oh, because they're both
redheads. Yeah, they're both redheads and ladies. So yeah, the animation's really good, although I mentioned this, I don't know if it was on the air or here, but it to me it seems like different studios did the animation for the stories as another did for the poker game. Because the poker game looks fine. It looks really cool. The silhouettes and all that work. But the story, especially the Joker black and white story, just looks really, really good. So, I really, really do like the animation. The story, of course, is what carries this. But more than anything, actually, it's the performances. Getting all these villains together, everybody playing off each other, it really works. And one of the cool things about this show is that when they did the voice recording, they actually have everybody record in the same studio at the same time, which kind of makes you go like, duh. But really, that's not how animation voice work is done. A lot of times, a person goes in, they record all their lines, and then they leave, and then they have the next actor do their lines. But they had everybody play off of each other in the studio. They mentioned in the commentary how they actually had all these five villains in the same room, all the voice actors, not the actual villains. They had five villains, then after the work was done, they got them all arrested.
They had their own scam.
Especially Mark Hamill. Especially Mark Hamill. You don't know what that guy's been doing.
Oh, I already chopped off some guy's hand. I think it was his own dad.
So yeah, this was really good. So, yeah, I don't really have many notes. So how about we get to the Batcave archives?
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
The Batcave Archives. This is where we rank every episode we've reviewed thus far. This is our 35th episode. Number one, we have Beware the Grey Ghost. And at number 33, which is our last place, I'm sorry, 34, we have Prophecy of Doom, which is the episode where Batman fights the fake psychic guy. Where would you rank this episode?
I'd set a mark for this episode. This episode is like one of my favorite things to do with anything. So I don't even know if I can judge it because it's just so off the scale. Like when I think of this series, this is the first episode I think of. Because I just love it that much. So I can't even, I mean, to me it just, to me it's number one, but that's because it's probably my favorite episode of any cartoon ever.
This episode to me is the perfect episode to introduce anybody to the Batman universe. Not just this cartoon, but just to Batman universe in general.
And is it not the perfect way to remind you of why you love Batman?
Yeah, this is, it's just
like, this is what I like about Batman. All this.
Yeah, it's not him brooding about his mom's name or any other silly stuff like that. It's just Batman being cool. It's not his, I mean, yeah, sometimes we get cool stories about his internal struggle, like last week or 2 weeks ago with the I Am the Night episode, which is really greatly done if you write it well. But the comic books are meant to be fun. And this episode shows you just how fun a comic book character, a superhero, can be. We always talk about how everybody wants to be gritty and dark. Well, you know what? This episode we mentioned is actually pretty, I guess, violent, or it has some violent tones to it. And this is, it's done right. It's not exaggeratingly gritty where Batman is like gonna punch Joker until Joker's face like caves in or something, you know, or Joker cuts off his own face for some reason. So I think this just handles the balance perfectly. This is a great way to introduce anybody to Batman, and that's any type of Batman, whether it be movies or comics. This is the perfect way just to introduce him to the character, the array of villains. I think it should be number one.
I'm such a mark for it. I can't stop.
Yeah. So about it. Beware the Grey Ghost was our number one.
Which is another Beware the Grey Ghost is fantastic. I love that episode or the episode.
It's a great episode. The only reason I put this one above it is because the Grey Ghost is a great episode, but I believe it's a great episode for Batman fans. That's an episode True. You're really going to love and really going to appreciate if you've been a fan of Batman for whatever amount of time, whether it be a year or 20. That's an episode you're really going to you're really going to love because of that. But as I said, to me, this episode, you're going to love it whether this is the first time you've ever watched Batman or you know, 20 or how old is Batman now? 75 years.
Yeah.
You could watch this. This could be like your 75th year of being a Batman fan, and this episode will remind you why you're a Batman fan. So yeah, our new number one is going to be Almost Got Him.
Yay!
All right, everybody, thank you for listening. I think it's going to be it for this episode. We're already in the month of October, so this is my favorite month of the year. Halloween is my favorite season. So what I'm actually doing is, it's a tradition I started about 2 years ago, two, 3 years ago, where I watch 31 horror movies in 31 nights. So this is my sixth night of watching these. And at the end of the month, I'll do like a quick review of each movie that I watch. So look out for that. If you're a horror movie fan, I think you'll find that. I'll let you know which ones are good, which ones are bad. And then you can watch these if you like. Maybe save that list. Watch them next year or watch them that month of November to celebrate Thanksgiving with horror movies. But anything you want to say before we go, Larry?
Nothing. I just love this episode. I'm so glad I got to be on this one because that's so far my two favorite episodes, Grey Ghost and this one.
And that's it. We're never going to see you again. You're going to be...
No, that's it. I'm done. Back who?
You're going to be like the Saved by the Bell characters. You're never going to be seen again. We're just going to start a new continuity from the next episode. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Remember, if you have any questions, suggestions, or thoughts on the reviewed episodes or the show in general, send them to Captain_Marvelous1@yahoo.com. I've been your host, Captain Marvelous. And remember, no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, we almost got him.